It is week zero of the 2023 college football season. This is the We Hate Your Team podcast, a proud member of the VSN Collegiate Network. I'm Kelly Ford from thelines.com, and with me, as always, is my friend and co-host, Zach King. Kinger, week zero is here. We have live college football games to talk about. How we doing this week, man?
Doing ecstatic, Kelly. We did it. We made it. The offseason is finally over. We are just a few short days away from having live college football, like you said. Although, we've said this multiple times in the podcast, although it might not be the most attractive slate this weekend, we finally have college football again. I'm going to be tuning into as much as I possibly can this weekend. Some very intriguing matchups. And before we get started tonight, we got some big news from the podcast here, Kelly.
Oh, yeah, King? What are we talking about?
We have our first sponsor. So for all the listeners out there, Home Field, premium vintage college apparel. Everyone knows the Home Field logo. We have a first-time promo code for buyers. Get 15% off with code Variety Sports. Again, first-time buyers get 15% off with Variety Sports. Go check out Home Field Apparel, proud sponsor of the We Hate Your Team podcast and Variety Sports.
Let's go, King. This is huge. So excited about this. Everybody in the college football space seemingly has some tie to Home Field Apparel. I am pumped that We Hate Your Team via the Variety Sports Network and VSN Collegiate now has this tie as well. King, we're really
going to Kelly, that was that, I got to ask. That was my first ad read. Give me an overall rating. Where would you how would you say the ad read went?
9 out of 10, dude. It was phenomenal. Nothing's ever perfect, so we can always get better, right? Anytime we do anything. That's a 9 out of 10 for me, dude.
Thanks, dude. Yeah. It was big, putting the pressure on me to be the first one to announce the sponsor. I will say I was feeling it a little bit. I think the delivery was maybe a little rough, but we accomplished what we needed to do.
King, you know what the best thing about this is every single week, we're going to announce this promo code. So you're going to have lots and lots of chances to tell everyone about how they can get 15% off over at Home Field Apparel if they're a first-time purchaser.
Absolutely. Look forward. We'll improve. We'll watch some film. We'll listen back, and we'll make sure it's nice and clean going forward. But big time, happy to be a part of that. Appreciate Variety bringing us in and Home Field for being a part of this.
No doubt, Kinger. No doubt. It's going to be a really fun year. We're excited to be a part of the VSN Collegiate Network. And like I said, lean into this Variety Sports partnership that we have now. Maybe even introducing a video component of the podcast here, Kinger, before too much longer. Not on this episode, but I think that's going to be coming here before we know it. And that's going to be a good thing, King, because today it's just us, you and me. We're going to highlight week zero. Before we get that, we're going to do something else really quickly. But starting next week, it's week one. We're going to have a guest with us as we always do during the season. I'm very excited about that. And we'll have a guest with us every single week, King. So I think the video component might be cool too. Lots of new things happening on We Hit Your
Team. Definitely. Video component would be a great addition to the podcast. I don't know if we'd still be considered just a podcast anymore if we had video, but that's putting some high pressure on the tech guy, the We Hit Your Team tech guy, AKA me, who really doesn't know a whole lot about technology, but it's something we're working on. It's an idea we're definitely intrigued by. And maybe if I can spend some time to figure out how this actually works, that would be a nice little addition to the show going forward.
Kinger, you're a 9 out of 10 tech guy for me. You know I don't give out 10, so there you go. I have no doubt we can figure it out. It'll be great. We do have week zero this week, as we talked about. It's real college football games. They do matter. Teams only get 12, or in the case of Hawaii and New Mexico State, who are both playing this weekend, 13 regular season games. It's a small sample size, King. These games count just as much as any other for these teams. Before we get to that, though, we were talking about, you know, what are all the things that we've done? We've done our conference previews. We've done our Power 5 tiered head coaching jobs, which, Kinger, lesson learned, dude. I'm down to do those kind of episodes, you know, in the summer when we don't have football to talk about. I'll tell you what, though, King, I'll let you make whatever graphics you want for yours and put them out and do all that. I will not be making another subjective graphic of my opinion because, King, West Virginia fans just absolutely demolished me on social media. I actually went on a West Virginia show, a video podcast show, whatever you want to call it, and, quote, defended the subjectivity of it in my rankings. And, dude, it went fine. You know, Justin's Coos is the guy that did it. He was cool. We talked through it. It was civil. He invited me on graciously. We had a great conversation. He disagreed with some stuff I said. He agreed with other things I said. And we move on with life. But I'll tell you what, King, some of those West Virginia fans are not prepared to move on with life. So my big takeaway, King, all that said, no more subjectivity graphic rankings for me. If I'm doing a graphic, I'm keeping it by the numbers and objective, where I can basically just tap the sign and say the numbers are the numbers, buddy, move on. So that's what I got, King. I don't know how your reaction was.
We definitely got you a little bit outside your comfort zone, I would say, doing a little bit more subjective episode. And I believe I sent you a text message ahead of us releasing it that I anticipated some hate coming your way. Now that you've been fortunate, getting a little bit more exposure, that following count's going up. You know people are out there just looking. Those trolls are just looking for ways to pick you apart. And I had a feeling you were going to catch some heat for a few of those rankings. That opportunity you had to go on and talk West Virginia, I'm sure you handled it with professionalism and class, as you always do, Kelly, but not surprised at all. I knew you were going to get some engagement on Twitter. I was hoping we'd get some feedback. We got some comments on the podcast Twitter channel, and that's really what we were looking to do there, right? That was something a little bit fun, a little bit different, as we stated multiple times. That's just our own opinion, and everybody's entitled to one out there. But that's a good way to stir up debate, and I'm sure you will be doing what you can to avoid that going forward.
Oh, King, I told everybody I did a mass unmuting. I've never blocked anybody on Twitter, ever. And as far as I know, I have not been blocked by anybody. But I guess I wouldn't know that unless I'm going to check on their profile or whatever and it says I can't view it. That's never happened to me. So if someone could block me out there and I don't know about it, I have never blocked anyone. I had used mute very liberally over the course of, you know, my 4 years now on Twitter. I did a mass unmuting over the summer. I said, you know what? 2023 season, everybody gets a clean slate, fresh start. Everyone's unmuted. I'm going back in. I'll tell you what, that is no longer the case. I have had many a mute in the last week or so, and I will continue to use the mute button liberally. But hey, if people want to quote tweet, people want to comment, people want to retweet, or I guess it's called posting now, you want to do all those things? All it's doing is putting my numbers, my ratings, my stuff out there further. Same thing with the We Hate Your Team content too, King. They want to quote tweet us, do all this stuff. Go for it. I'm going to hit you with a mute on the K Ford one. I'm not going to mute you on the We Hate Your Team unless we both agree, like, yo, this account's way out of bounds. But anyway, lessons learned. We'll continue moving forward. I do have some objectivity that I want to talk about tonight, King, in the form of Week 0 games. But before we get to that, we previewed a lot of other things, as I mentioned. We have not yet, King, talked about our CFP picks. What do the numbers say about who's the most likely to make the CFP? Who are we feeling has the best chance to make the CFP? Is it more open this year than it's ever been? Is Georgia a lock, being a two-time reigning national champion? Let's talk about that quickly. We haven't done it yet. Let's start with you, King. How are you feeling about this year's CFP? Of course, it is the final year of the four-team field, keeping that bar to qualify very, very high for one more season.
Well, you just mentioned a handful of talking points that can be a part of this discussion here for the CFP. And I mean, I think we'll start by saying, I think I am in agreement, or I don't know, actually, I haven't heard your full opinion yet, but I do think that this year is a little bit more difficult to predict. I don't think we have quite as big of separation from the top and elite teams in the country from some of those, you know, middle top 10 teams that maybe we've had in some previous years. We'll start with Georgia because they are my number one team that I have in the CFP this year. I think they are a lock, or at least I would consider them as much of a lock as possible heading into this season. They are two-time national champs, and I believe that Kirby Smart really has this program rolling downhill, right? This is a program that has a lot of momentum right now. They reload again. There's question marks at the quarterback position. You lose two-time national champ Stetson Bennett. Carson Beck officially got the reins this week. There are question marks around him, right? But a lot of Georgia fans believe that he has a ceiling there that might be higher than a couple of those previous quarterbacks in Stetson Bennett. The receiving corps is much improved. Offensive line going to be solid as always. Defense, once again, going to be elite. We know how good these Georgia defenses are. And just looking at this schedule, right, we know the Tennessee game is going to be the big one. That's going to be their toughest challenge of the season, but I really believe I would lean towards betting on Georgia going undefeated this season. And obviously they get to that point, you go 12-0 heading into the national championship game or the SEC championship game, you're going to be a lock for the CFP once again. And based on how this Georgia team is lined up right now and this schedule ahead of them, I'm a believer that Carson Beck's going to be able to do enough, and this team is uber talented again. So Georgia's going to be right back there where they've been the last few years.
Yeah, King, I'm with you on Georgia. They're definitely a team that I'm going to be picking to make it. If I'm looking at my chances to make the CFP by my numbers, Georgia comes in number one. They have a 70% chance by my numbers. I've got Georgia favored in every single game they're playing this year, and they're actually favored by more than two touchdowns, at least two touchdowns or more, in 11 out of 12, the only game in which my numbers currently make Georgia less than a two-touchdown favorite in the regular season. Week 12, they go on the road to Tennessee. I have that right now as about a 10-point projection.
That's higher than I thought you were going to say. I was projecting, in my head, I probably would have had that right around that 6-7 mark, one score. But you got it all the way up in double digits. So that really does show how much the model likes Georgia there.
Yeah, the model really likes Georgia King. Number one team in the country, top six offense, number two defensive units, with a schedule that sets up very favorably, especially by SEC standards. We talked about the Georgia schedule before, how the Oklahoma game got canceled, all those other things. But the reality is this is a very manageable schedule for Georgia. And they are the best team, 46% chance to go 12-0. You mentioned it. If they're 12-0 going into the SEC championship game, even if they lose that game, depending on what everybody else looks like, their resumes at that time, there's a good chance Georgia has already locked up its spot. So, King, we're both in agreement on Georgia. How about your number two team? And this is not necessarily to say, at least as I'm going through this, I'm not necessarily saying Georgia's the number one seed. We're talking about who are the four teams we think are going to be in there. So who's the second team that you would put in the top four at the end?
Another repeat offender here. I'm going back to the well here, and I'm going Michigan Wolverines. This is, again, their schedule and the style of play that Michigan plays. I think that makes them really the favorite here in the Big Ten, and I think they're going to be hard to beat in the Big Ten. I mean, Harbaugh news today. Harbaugh's getting a three-game suspension. There's been a lot of, I guess, uncertainty around what his future was going to look like this season. There was originally a four-game suspension that didn't get upheld. Now Michigan's self-imposing. I think they're doing what they can to try and avoid any additional penalties there. But at the end of the day, Michigan non-conference is not something that they're gonna be really tested once again, just like last year. The big game, again, is going to be on the road at Penn State. But I think Michigan, again, has the talent here in the right spot. Great O-line. Defense is just really solid as a unit. We talked about how this is really not an individual star-studded defensive team, but they really, as a unit, are top tier. They've got guys at every level. You can't say enough about the running back duo there. I think they're going to beat Ohio State at home this year. I could be wrong. Ohio State's going to be a very good team again, but I'm a little bit concerned about that QB play again. I was wrong on CJ Stroud. I thought there was going to be a drop after Justin Fields. I'll put my hand up. I was definitely wrong about that. I'm not sure Ohio State's going to get that same high level. Now, do they necessarily need that with all the talent around them? No. But down the line in some of these big games, I'm not sure if they're going to fully execute. So Ohio State's going to be right there again in the Big Ten, but I am going to take Michigan to beat that. I think Michigan's going to go 12-0 in the regular season.
All right, King. I'm actually going to go with the team you just mentioned there that Michigan will be playing. I'm going to go with Ohio State as my kind of second team that I'm picking to make the CFP right now. So by my numbers, 53% chance to make the CFP. That's second in my list behind only Georgia. 10.8 projected wins on average this season. Second in the country behind only Georgia's 11.3. I make Ohio State currently a favorite in all 12 games. That includes the game at Michigan at the end of the year. King, 8 of the games, I like the Buckeyes currently by 3 touchdowns or more. 3 more of the games, I like them by at least double digits. And then the final game is that Michigan game in week 13. My numbers right now, King, make the Buckeyes a 3-point favorite on the road. Now, I think the most common line out there right now is Michigan -1. So my numbers are 4 points off of Vegas there. I know how the last 2 years have gone. I know Michigan's run in the Big Ten. We talked about this during our Big Ten preview. I'm not going to revisit all those points. You can go back and listen to it if you'd like to hear it. I think Ohio State on paper is going to be the more talented team, and Michigan fans will say, yes, you said that each of the last 2 years. You're right. I did. And the numbers say it again. The numbers are right more than they're wrong. That's how we've gotten to this point, and I'm going to continue to roll with them in this case. Ohio State, the number two team, power rated for me. It's the number one offense, even with the quarterback uncertainty. Still haven't named that starter, as you said. The defense is number 13 nationally. There's a 24% chance that Ohio State goes 12-0, a 64% chance of at least 11-plus regular season wins. So we both have Georgia. You have Michigan. I have Ohio State. King, where are you looking at number three?
This is where the uncertainty really starts to settle in. And to be honest, with 3 and 4 here, I don't have a ton of confidence. Definitely more so on a lean, you know, more confident in the Georgia-Michigan picks. But the third team I'm going with Nick Saban, and I'm going with Alabama. There are a ton of question marks around this Alabama team. You can argue more so than years past. The big question's a quarterback. It sounds like right now there's potentially a four-man race down there, including true freshman Dylan Lonergan. Nobody really knows right now what direction Alabama's going to go, and that's, are they going to be able to get suitable quarterback play throughout this season? They missed the playoff last year. They come at number 4, which I believe is the lowest ranking in like 10 years or something like that. I don't know if you know that stat. You can hop in and correct me if I'm wrong there, but I am going to bet on the underdog Saban. The receivers and O-line last year, very underwhelming, but I think both are going to take a step. Specifically that offensive line, I think it's going to be better this year, and I think it is going to help provide some much-needed help for whoever does end up starting at QB. The defense, once again, has some dudes, Kool-Aid McKinstry and Dallas Turner, both those guys elite talents, and I think the defense is going to be able to pick up some of that slack if the offense offense does run into some of those struggles again. Texas and LSU at home are big. They're scary threats. I think the Tide, ultimately, I would bet on losing one of those games. At A&M is another one that you can't rule out. But I think the Tide find a way to go 11-1, get in that SEC championship game. And I know Saban's going to be looking to get at Kirby again. So if the Tide can get good QB play, I still think this team has the talent to get right back there. And I think Bama, I don't think they're going to go 2 years in a row without getting in. So I'm going to take the Tide to find a way to get back in the CFP this year.
By my numbers, Georgia and Ohio State, Kinger, are the only two teams that have better than a 50-50 chance to make the CFP. So like you said, there's a little bit of a drop-off here, a little bit more uncertainty, even though it's funny, we're both relatively certain on two teams, even though we're differing opinions on one of those two, but we feel better about those picks. I'm with you. Uncertainty kicks in here, but I'm also with you on who I'm putting in that spot, and it is Alabama. Alabama comes on number three in my CFP contenders list, a 41% chance to make the CFP, 10.4 average projected wins during the regular season. That is number three in the country behind Georgia and Ohio State. Alabama, like those two previous teams I mentioned, by my numbers right now, favored in all 12 games. King, 10 of those 12, they're favored by double digits. The two games in which my numbers are not favoring the Tide by double digits, week two, they welcome Texas to town, to Tuscaloosa, in a rematch of a great non-conference game from last year. My numbers right now like Alabama by 9 in that one. And then week 10, coming off the bye, as it always is for both these teams, Alabama welcomes in LSU to Tuscaloosa. So both these games at home for Alabama. This is a revenge game for Alabama. Of course, they lost in Baton Rouge last year in overtime on a two-point conversion. My numbers right now like Alabama in that game by 8. If it sets up a Georgia-Alabama SEC championship game and both are 12-0, King, I do think both teams are in the CFP already at that point, even the four-team field. The 12-team, forget about it. They're comfortably in. In the four-team, I think they are both in. I think Alabama is certainly in. Even if they get beat by 30 points in the SEC championship game, they will have accomplished enough at that point. If Georgia were to get beat by 30 in that game, now the schedule difficulty comes into question, and what do the other contenders look like with their resumes on Selection Sunday? But if Alabama's sitting there at 12-0 in Atlanta, I don't really care how that game goes. They will have done enough to get in, very similar to TCU last year. TCU 12-0 into the Big 12 championship game, get beat in a great game by Kansas State, and they still make it in as they should as the 3 seed last year, which my numbers agreed with. So I'm going Alabama as well, King, with my number 3 spot. Fourth and final spot, King. And next year, it's going to take us forever to get through it because we got 12. This year, I love it. We still got 4. Who are you going with in that fourth and final spot? And King, if you want to, I'm going to tell you, I am going to have a couple kind of teams that I'm considering. I won't go in depth on them, but if you want to mention a couple others too, let's hear it. If it's, you know, a couple in that mix.
All right, I'm just going to ask you, if you were to guess, I got two teams. Who would you think that I'm debating between right here?
I think you are debating between Ohio State and USC.
I'm debating between Ohio State and Clemson, actually, which might come as a little bit of a shocker here, right? I'll just start by saying I am ruling out the Pac-12, and they are. I've spoken, and we've mentioned this on the earlier episode, the Pac-12 is going to be good this year. And those teams at the top are going to finally, I think, get the respect and praise they deserve. The Pac-12 is definitely on the up and up. It's unfortunate that it's basically all but over at this point after this year. But I'm looking at this because both these teams, in my opinion, I think the likelihood is there's probably going to be one loss here between both Clemson and Ohio State. But the difference for me is I think Clemson is going to get a shot at that ACC championship game, which is going to separate them in the end in what I'm projected here, or my vision here. So Clemson is potentially going to lose one regular season. They get Florida State at home. That's the big one everyone has their eye on. But the two games that I'm actually looking at later in the season, I'd be interested to hear your numbers on this, at Miami and at NC State back-to-back. Both those, Miami's a team with a load of talent. NC State's got a good quarterback. Again, Clemson's probably going to have a significant edge there. But again, those back-to-back road games, that's one on the schedule that I'm taking a look at. The defense is going to carry Clemson once again. True freshman Peter Woods, this is the next dude on the D-line. He is getting rave reviews at a Clemson camp. This is a guy that everybody's going to want to keep their eye on. Clemson linebacking core is elite. And if the secondary gets better, I think Clemson's got a chance again going 11-1, 12-0. I'll take Dabo and Clemson when it counts. I'm projecting it's going to be Clemson, Florida State in the ACC championship game once again. And in those games, that matters. Even if Norvell and Florida State do happen to get them on the road in Death Valley, I'm going to take Dabo in the rematch game. So I think Clemson and Alabama both make the return of the CFP this year.
Okay. You mentioned a couple games there, Clemson, or Kinger, about Clemson. Week 8 is the game at Miami. Clemson coming off a bye, so they're going to have a scheduling advantage there. My numbers right now, like Clemson, excuse me, by about 9.5. The following week, week nine, now it's NC State that's coming off a bye in that game. Clemson, of course, not having been on the road at Miami the week before. Then Clemson goes to NC State in week nine. My numbers currently like the Tigers in that one by about 10.5. So there's the answer to a couple of your questions. So, King, that's interesting. There are three teams for me that are kind of in this position that I'm looking at. If I'm going down my CFP contender list, Michigan is next up with a 36% chance to make it. And then I have USC and Clemson both at 25%. If I'm looking at the projected wins, Michigan 10.3 on average during the regular season, USC and Clemson both at 9.8. So these three teams are kind of in that mix, King. In addition to Georgia, Ohio State, and Alabama, there are only two more teams that I favor in every game. That would be USC and Clemson. So while my numbers do think Michigan has the best chance based on these three, I'm going to remove them from the equation here, even though they have been there each of the last 2 years. I'm going to go look further at the two teams that I favor in all 12 regular season games. So if we dive into those two teams, King, and we look at the projected spreads, there are two games in which I am currently projecting USC to be a field goal or less favorite in. I favor them in all 12, but two games in which they're a field goal or less. I currently have a pick'em in week 7 at Notre Dame and with the 52% win expectancy, and I have USC favored by 1.5 at Oregon in week 11. So those two games are closer than any game that Clemson has. There are zero games on Clemson's schedule projected to be favored by less than a touchdown. Their closest projected games, King, you mentioned one of them, favored by 4 points in week 4 at home against Florida State and favored by 5.5 points in week 10 at home against that Notre Dame team. So Notre Dame certainly going to have a large say in how this CFP race shapes up, King. This Notre Dame team, not just playing USC and Clemson this year, of course, they're also playing Ohio State in week 4. So, King, Notre Dame's a team to keep an eye on from, an outside CFP chance. My numbers give that
but
one
disruptors.
A 6.2% chance for the Irish to make it themselves, but they're going to get three shots at other CFP contenders to try to take them down two of those games in South Bend, the game at Clemson on the road. So, King, comes down to me for USC-Clemson. In any given game, I like Clemson by more. I do have Clemson power rated number 7. I have USC power rated number 8. Michigan, for the record, power rated number 4. I'm going to go Clemson too. So we agree on that one, Kinger. We have three of the same four. We each take Georgia. We each take Bama. We each take Clemson. You take Michigan. I take Ohio State. I can't put Michigan in there with them, King.
It's just because you're a homer. You're not using numbers over there. It's just because you're an Ohio State homer. No.
Here's what I'm saying. There's no way we're going to get two SEC and two Big Ten in any given year. So even though those four are the most likely by my numbers, I don't think we're getting both of those. I don't want to forget, King, some others that I have at least a 10% chance to make the CFP. I mentioned the six. It's Georgia at 70%, Ohio State at 53%, Alabama 41%, Michigan 36%, USC 25%, Clemson, who was my pick there, also at the 25% chance. Then there's a drop-off. Texas and Penn State and LSU all at a 16% chance. Oklahoma and Florida State each with 13, and Oregon with an 11%. Those are the 12 teams that have at least a 10% chance to make the CFP by my numbers, Kinger. All right, we've gone into the CFP, King, and I know we both talked about how we don't start the year with the CFP in mind. We know listeners and fans want to hear these picks. We've heard about it in DMs. We've heard about it on Twitter. We wanted to get to it. So there you have it. There are our picks. Let us know what you think. I'm sure many people out there disagree. I think it's interesting that we are in alignment on 3 out of 4, and you had a finalist for the one that I included. The one you included, I had as a finalist. So we'll see how it all plays out, King. If I had to guess, I think maybe two of those
we'll
teams
probably
that
50%.
We mentioned. Maybe three. Yeah, maybe three for one of us. I think two for probably both of us is what we're going to end up looking like. That's why we love college football. And speaking of it, King, it's back this week. We talked about it at the top of the show. It's week 0. There are a handful of college football games here in week 0. We're only going to talk about a couple. King, there's some real sicko games out there this week. And I'm going to be here for all of them because it's been almost 8 months since we've seen college football. So I am – beggars can't be choosers, but I've been begging. So I'm going to sit down and watch every game I can with the exception of one because it's on the Pac-12 network, which I absolutely hate. Probably the one good thing, King, about the dissolution of the Pac-12, the only good thing about the dissolution of that conference, which makes me very sad, is I believe this means we're going to have the Pac-12 network go away because if there's no Pac-12, there's no Pac-12 network. That right there played a large part in the dissolution of that conference, or at least the significant damage of that conference moving forward. Been saying it for years. There's too many people can't watch. And we got USC playing San Jose State on the Pac-12 network this week. And at the same time, we got a real sicko game on ESPN. I think it's, what is it, New Mexico State and UMass maybe at that time, whatever it is. More people are going to watch that game than are going to watch the reigning Heisman Trophy winner or the number six team in the country by the AP poll because of which network is being broadcast on. So, okay, I'll get off my high horse on that. That's not a game we're talking about anyway. King, first game we're going to talk about, it's the very first one on the whole slate. It starts right in the afternoon on Eastern time because it's taking place across the pond. It's over in Ireland. We have Navy and Notre Dame. King, what do you think about the very first FBS college football game of 2023, Navy and Notre Dame?
Kicking it off with a bang, sending the Irish over to the homeland there. Notre Dame's going to be looking for a better start than last year. We all know the Marcus Freeman era didn't necessarily go as planned at the start last year. And I would say there's probably some more pressure on Notre Dame this year to make sure that that isn't repeated. So, fortunately for them, though, this is a game in which I do see Notre Dame winning with relative ease. I'm actually going to lay the points, -20.5, over under 50.5. I'm going to take Notre Dame this week here. I think this is a tough matchup for Navy. They got a new coach in there, inheriting a team that had some holes last year, and they're facing a team with a lot of potential, a team that has a lot of talent and can play some CFP spoiler potentially outside chance, as you said, Kelly, in Notre Dame. So, Sam Hartman bringing an element to this Notre Dame offense, this passing game that has lacked for some time now. They struggled a bit with quarterback position last year to consistent play, but they definitely have not had anyone with Hartman's accolades on campus in some time. So they lost their big threat in Michael Mayer, but they got some good talent in wide receiver. Jaden Thomas, he's the one to keep an eye on this year. And with Hartman throwing the ball, I think the wide receiving corps, this tight ends, they're going to get a big boost. The offensive line with Notre Dame, it's solid as it always is. And I think they really have a good matchup versus that Navy defensive line. They're good against the run. Nationally, you know, Kelly, you'll appreciate this. They were solid against the run nationally last year, but obviously that wasn't opponent adjusted here. Look at me throwing out opponent adjusted terms. But that's when you know I'm getting into the weeds, Kelly. But I think this matchup does favor Notre Dame on that offensive side as well. And Navy on the other side of the ball, Notre Dame losing their best pass rusher in Isaiah Foskey, but this is still going to be a good unit. Navy's still going to be running that triple option. They had some success running against Notre Dame last year. I could see them maybe getting some early success again here. But ultimately, I think Notre Dame's going to wear them down in the trenches. They got talent here. I think this is a game that they could potentially showcase some of that. They should be able to handle Navy pretty handily week one, in my opinion. So Notre Dame gets this done.
King, you're talking about opponent adjustments over
I said
here. Oh
yes, I know, man. I knew you would appreciate
2023.
That.
The 2023 season is here, and I love what Kinger is all about this season. That is great. King, you mentioned disappointing year for Freeman in year one. My numbers would agree. 8 regular season wins last year for the Irish. I projected 9.1 in the preseason, so they come out on the lower end and somewhat disappointing, somewhat underachievers based on win-loss expectations from 2022. Projecting 8.7 this year. I have Notre Dame favored by 22 in this game, King. So you said you've got Notre Dame minus the 20.5. My numbers would be on that side as well, just slightly. I have Notre Dame coming into this year power rated number 12 nationally. They finished last year number 17. So I do think this is going to be an improved team from last year, at least in the power rating world. It's a top 15 defense. It's a top 30 offense. I have Navy power rated number 94, King. They finished last year number 75. So I think this team taking a step back this year, number 75 defensive unit and the number 115 offensive unit. So this is a really big mismatch by my numbers when this Navy offense is on the field against that Notre Dame defense. Again, the Navy offense power rated unit wise number 115. The Notre Dame defense number 15. So a 100 spot difference between these two. This is a mismatch, King, to the point that I wouldn't actually be too surprised if the Irish defense was able to register a score in this game, whether that's, you know, a safety or a fumble recovery for a touchdown or a pick six. I mean, I think this defense might actually get on the board. You said you don't expect any issues here for Notre Dame. I'm right there with you. It's a 94% win expectancy. I don't foresee the Irish having any trouble with this game. I know they're going a long way away. Navy's doing it too. I think the Irish are going to roll. Again, I like them by 22 points. That's a 94% win expectancy, Kinger. Next game we want to talk about maybe doesn't have the same level of, CFP aspirations like a Notre Dame team does. But, King, I think this might be, if you wanted to say Navy-Notre Dame is the best game of the week, I'm not going to argue that. But outside of that one, this is definitely the best game of week zero, even though it lacks maybe national brand power or whatever you want to say. I think it's a really, really intriguing game, King. Of course, I am talking about Ohio at San Diego State. What do you think about the Bobcats and the Aztecs?
I am 100% with you. This is probably the game I am most looking forward to this week. I think this is going to be a really sound matchup here, going to be a fun matchup. And quite honestly, this is one I think the listeners need to be paying attention to here. So you look at Ohio and San Diego State, both these teams coming in with some different results in 2022. Ohio definitely successful year last year, 10 wins for only the third time in school history. You look at San Diego State finishing 7-6. That's a little bit of a down year compared to with how some of these San Diego State teams have performed in previous years. And so when we did conference previews, I picked Ohio to win the MAC. They're still the team I like there. And San Diego State was my team to watch in the Mountain West. So getting these two week one, that's a little bit of a treat for me here. So the conversation starts with Ohio. Getting big news here this week, just formally announced, I think a couple days ago, they're getting Curtis Rourke back, right? This is the reigning MAC Offensive Player of the Year. 2,700 yards, 25 touchdowns, 69% completion percentage. This dude's accurate. He can pick apart a defense. Tore his ACL back last year in November. Having him coming back start in week zero, that's huge for the Bobcats. They return four O-line starters, MAC Freshman of the Year running back. They've all their core wide receivers, except minus one guy. The expectations are very high for the Ohio offense this year. And this is Ohio team that's very efficient in the passing game. San Diego State been known for their defense, going for their fifth straight season, having a top 20 unit. They did lose a decent amount of production, lost all three All-Mountain West players last year. We'll have to have some guys step in fill production, but this should once again be a very formidable unit. Ohio defense last year, absolute roller coaster. First half of the season, brutal. Over 40 points per game. They got a little bit better as the season went on. There's optimism that this unit's going to be better this year, but again, this is not one that's going to be the strength of this team. Now, luckily for them, San Diego State's not really an offensive prowess. They've been sub-100 the last few years. It's been a while since this unit's been very good. They're hoping they found something in Jalen Maiden, their quarterback. He took over midway through last year, I think week 5 or 6. This guy is a guy who has the ability to use his feet and produce. He's shown flashes as a passer. That's the big thing for San Diego State this year. They want to try and get some more explosive plays, improve in the passing game. So, you look at this matchup, I'm looking at this from a matchup-wise, Mountain West has dominated the MAC in recent matchups. They're 6-1 in their last 7 games. Ohio is definitely tempting. San Diego State's laying 2 at home, and I'm actually going to take San Diego State, the Aztecs, this week. I think they're going to be able to grind down this Bobcats defense. We know San Diego State's going to try and control the time of possession, run the football. I think that defensive line for Ohio is a weak point of that defense that overall still is not very good. So I think San Diego State's going to have enough. Curtis Rourke's going to make some plays, but mobility is a big part of his game. And coming off that ACL versus a good defense, I'm not going to go and bet that Ohio offense is going to be flashing and ready to rock week one. So on the road, traveling across the country, I'm going to go with the trends here. I think I'm going to trust Brady Hoke in this defense to be good once again, and I'm going to lay the points with San Diego State at home as well.
King, I'm in agreement with a lot of the things you just said there. And these, let's not forget, these are my Ohio University Bobcats, of course, having spent a couple years in Athens. So I got my eyes on this game, that's for sure. I'm excited about it. Ohio, big news with the quarterback this year, Rourke getting healthy and ready to play, as you said. Ohio's coming off a year, King, where they won 9 regular season games. That was 3.8 more than I expected last year. That made Ohio my number 4 biggest overachiever in the 2022 season. They finished last year power rated number 90. They come into this year number 89. So a very similar team. I'm not sure the win total necessarily gets to that level again this year. I've got just a 26% chance to win 9+ regular season games. 7.5 coming out to be the average with 8-4, the most likely record for them. But they get this game, and you could be pushing that 9. That math changes quickly in a 12-game sample size, as I talked about earlier. So it's a big one for both these teams if they're going to achieve their season expectations and their season goals. I don't want to put too much pressure on a week zero game, but you only get 12. I can't stress that enough. This is a big one for both teams. You said the line's 2.5. You're leaning San Diego State. My number's like San Diego State in this one by 4. So I am kind of with you on that one, King. Again, my number's close to the Vegas line. Again, that's both these games off by about 1.5. And we're on the same side with both of those. So these teams match up really well, King. I've got San Diego State power rated 82. Ohio, I said I have number 89. San Diego State's defense, number 52. Ohio's offense, number 71. So San Diego State got a little bit of an edge there. On the other side, it's even closer. Ohio's defense is 117, so not great. But San Diego State's offense, as you mentioned, King, also not great, number 110. So San Diego State has the slight edge in both matchups and overall. And then they get that home field advantage in there as well. And that's how I arrive at the 4-point favorite for San Diego State and a 61% win expectancy for the Aztecs. So I do like San Diego State, 61% win expectancy, but this is a game I'm very excited about, King. It's 7 o'clock on FS1, 7 o'clock Eastern, I should say, on FS1. So Notre Dame Navy will be over by then. I think this will probably be the game on the big screen for me with the others around that time flanking it on the support TV. So, King, I'm excited about these two games. Excited about all the games, but these two in particular, they're the two we wanted to highlight. We're going to do a little bit different this year, King, as we talk about a lot of new things. Week zero is a different week in and of itself, but even during the regular season, I don't think we're not going to go 10 deep in any given week. We're going to pick a handful, each of us, that we want to highlight. We'll talk about, we'll let the guests pick one, and we'll do that too. So I think it's going to allow us, King, as we've talked about, to go more in depth into the games that we want to, and maybe keep our timing of the podcast per episode a little bit more in the range of what folks would come to expect of a podcast. We know people don't have that attention span of a 90-plus minute episode, which we could do every single week, and we have done before. But I think this week zero, previewing two games, kind of a little bit of a taste for what we can expect moving forward as we dive deeper into select number of games, King.
Agreed, Kelly. It's one of those things where we're going to run the Pick'em contest again and get everybody the opportunity to get involved, compete against us on a week in and week out basis. But there are some matchups that deserve a little bit more attention than others. And we love all college football games, but there are some that the viewers want, that bring in the viewership, that the listeners want to hear about. And we want to make sure we provide as much coverage, insight, and allow for a more natural conversation than maybe we have previously.
Exactly, King. You mentioned the Pick'em competition. Actually, somebody DM'd me about that. Somebody asked us a question on the main platform about that, too. They're like, where's the Pick'em competition? We'll get on it. We're going to do it again. And actually, our first guest in week one is going to be our Bowl Mania Pick'em winner from 2022. So that's how we've determined who the week one guest is. As always, we'll have the regular season Pick'em competition winner on during bowl season here in 2023. So it's free to play. We'll put the link out there and to join and all that stuff. I think last year, Ken, we had over 100 people in it. Maybe we can get even better than that this year. Of course, those listening probably don't want that because your chances go down the more people that come in. But that's what we want. We want many people in there. We want to see what your picks are all about, put them up against ours. I might do a little something different this year, King. I might not just trust the numbers blindly. I say that every year. I'm committed to it this year. I might put a little bit of the Kelly Ford, the person, flavor into it instead of K Ford ratings, the model, and just strictly going off that. I don't know. I haven't been up at the top of the power or the standings, and I want to get up there. So I think I need to put some of my own spin on it.
I love it. I mean, that's a part of the college football season, right? Sometimes you just get a gut feeling. Sometimes your numbers might be close, but you got a slight feeling one way or another, and you just got to trust it. I like that. I'd love to see that approach from Kelly. It would be different from your standard operating procedure there, but I think that would be a nice switch up, and maybe the results will show for it this year.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm not going to create a graphic and post that with my subjectivity tweaks in there because I've learned my lesson from the Power 5 head coaching tiers. But King, this has been a really good episode. We gave you our CFP picks. We gave you our teams to watch outside of the top four CFP teams that we like. We downloaded two week zero college football games. We told you about a promo code for home field apparel for first-time buyers, 15% off. We are the We Hate Your Team podcast. We are a proud member of the VSN Collegiate Network, and we are excited about the start of the 2023 college football season. Let's go enjoy it, folks. It's going to be over before we know it. Let's enjoy every single minute, and we'll talk to you before week one.